Thank you for tuning into sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. Our goal is to help you know God more and take the next step in your spiritual journey, no matter where you're at. If you have questions about God or about Liberty, you can connect with us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
What does every child need from their dad? If you ask that question, the answer might differ based on who you ask it to and when you ask them. A mom on a given day might say the thing that a child needs most from their dad is maybe some correction or discipline. How many of you ever said or heard this growing up? Just wait till your father gets home. Anybody ever say that, moms, or if kids maybe heard that? And what is that? And then maybe dad comes home and, do you know what your son did today? Why is it always my son when they misbehave? It's her son when they do something well, but it's my son, right, when they misbehave. If you ask a one-year-old, what does every child need from their dad? If they were able to answer, he might just say, I just need unlimited Cheerios and a big hug. That's what I need from dad. And a three-year-old daughter may say that she needs a friend to join her for tea parties, coloring sessions, and maybe playing Candyland every day. That's what a three-year-old maybe wants from dad. And the seven-year-old might want someone to throw the ball with him or let him win at Mario Kart. A 13-year-old daughter might think all she needs from dad is a chauffeur to take her wherever she wants to go and stay as invisible as possible. Because we all know there's nothing more embarrassing than a dad of a teenager, right? And the 16-year-old, the answer is clear. What I most need from dad are his car keys. That's what I most need. And the 19-year-old probably thinks she only needs one thing, and that is money for college, for clothes, for all the unexpected expenses that come with adulting. The 25-year-old realizes he probably needs dad's advice more than he ever did before. The 30-year-old most needs dad's wisdom and experience, maybe in fixing something around the house or maybe making some major financial decisions and other important life lessons as he realizes that as he's establishing his own life that maybe I don't know everything. The 40-year-old's biggest need might just be babysitting so she can find some sanity from the craziness of her daily routine. The 50 or 60-year-old, if you ask them that question, what does a child most need from dad? Most likely just wants to hear dad's voice because either he's passed or he's aging and she realizes he might not be around forever. Dads, you have a whole lot to offer, and the truth is that our realization of the importance of our fathers and what they have to offer, it changes as we grow, doesn't it? Our understanding and appreciation of our parents changes as we age and as we grow in wisdom, and sometimes the older we get, we realize, oh, maybe they did know a little more than I thought, and maybe I do need what they have to say a little more than I thought at certain ages. I think I mentioned this last week. I think it was Mark Twain who said, at age 18, my dad knew nothing. By age 24, I was shocked to find out how much he had learned in 6 years. The truth is, our understanding of what we need from our parents changes as we grow. We're going to be in Luke 3, and the message today comes from the last verse that we studied last week. It's cool how God will have us where we need to be in certain times. And sometimes I'll step out of our series for a special day like today. But I've actually known what my Father's Day message was going to be probably since last October. I didn't realize that it would land perfectly in our verse-by-verse study through the book of Luke. I thought I would be stepping out of our study for this message, and God had us right in the text that I had planned last October to be in. And so we're going to be in Luke 3. Last week, we looked at 22 verses. Today, we're going to look at one. And would you read the last verse that we studied last week as we looked last week at the ministry of John the Baptist and then the baptism of some of the Jews that began to follow and then the baptism of Jesus. Luke 3, let's read verse 22 aloud together. Ready? Begin. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased. This same account is recorded in Mark 1. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is Jesus as he has in some ways, his life and ministry is kind of publicly announced and he's acknowledged as the Son of God. This is heaven's stamp of approval on the Messiah. And as he's baptized from heaven, those that are gathered hear the voice of the Father that says, "Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased." And today we're going to look at what every child needs. We're going to see three things that the Heavenly Father gave to his Son, Jesus, in this verse. And I believe these same three things are what every child needs. Today's message is going to be in two parts. I'll give you the three things that every child needs, and we'll get there in a moment. But what we're going to see today, the three things that every child needs, is acceptance, affection, and affirmation. We're going to see that in this passage. But the message, as I give you those, will be really a two-part message. First, it will be a challenge for dads. I want you to listen, and I'm going to apply it at the end as a challenge for dads, and then it's going to be a reminder for all of us. This message isn't just for dads today. It's for all of us, because here's the reality. All of us are children. Now, some of us are dads, and some of us have children in our homes or maybe out of our homes now, and we're going to hopefully be challenged as dads. Are we giving our children the three things that the Father gave his Son in this text? But all of us are children, and all of us have these same three needs, and it's going to be a reminder today of what we need and where we can find it. So, what three things did God give to his Son in this text? I believe these are three of the deepest needs in every one of our lives, and there will always be a void in a man or a lady's life unless he or she receives these three things. It's how God made us. And they're the three things we see in this chapter. Number one, what's the first thing that every child needs that we see in verse 22? It is acceptance. What does God say to his Son from heaven here? He says, if I can paraphrase it, "You're mine. This is my beloved Son." What is he saying? I identify with him. I accept him. He is mine. And isn't that the cry of every child's heart? No matter the age, by the way. When I say child, I'm not just talking the age of Braff and Gems that just got baptized, although they want to know this. This is true of every one of us as children. We have a longing, a desire to be accepted. That's my boy. God saying of Jesus, he's mine. I accept him. I identify with him. And this is one of the greatest needs of every human heart, to know that we are accepted. And I joked earlier, but you know, when our child hits the home run, we're the proud dad. When they get in trouble at school, it's mom that needs to go talk to the teacher, right? You got to go figure that one out. I don't want to take it, but no matter what their successes, their faults, their failures, their achievements, their good and their bad, they're ours. They're our children, and God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son." Children need to know they are accepted. Again, whether they acknowledge that need or not, isn't it funny? I joked a little bit about a teenager needs their dad to take them where they need to go and then stay invisible. It's funny that in the season where children really are looking for and longing for and needing a true acceptance the most, often they kind of can tend to push away those that give that acceptance. Children need that acceptance. Does your child know that he or she is fully accepted? Faults, failures, and all. This is my son. That's my son. Jesus is my son. I accept him. I identify with him. Any of you in your house, do you have any creations that your children have made, maybe as a child for a holiday or in a craft or in Sunday school or summer camp or in an elementary class? Maybe it was a little vase or a handprint or a painting or a craft or a coloring, and maybe it's on the fridge or it's sitting in a windowsill. Anybody have anything like that, or maybe in a special box at your house? You've got some of those. Here's the truth. If I walked into your house, those of you that raise your hand or those of you that have, and I saw it, it probably would not be all that impressive, depending on the age at which they did it, right? often it would be misshapen. The coloring might be out of the lines. It's not exactly what would be very impressive. I asked my wife, we have what are called special boxes. My wife is not much of a saver of things. I tend a little more on the hoarding side of things. I like to, because I love people and I like memories. My wife, she's kind of cold. No, she's not cold-hearted. She likes a clean, organized home. And I like to remember things. And so we do not have stuff all over the house. If you've been in her home, that's not how she operates. But we have what we call special boxes. This was her compromise that, okay, we'll keep some of those things that the kids have made. And so I asked her yesterday, I said, can you pull out the kids' special boxes? I want to try to find some of these things. And I found, here it is, about a 15-year-old turkey right here that was made by Titus when he was probably 3 or 4. If you were to come up and see it, if I didn't tell you it was a turkey, you might struggle to know what it was. His what is that thing called? His gobbler, whatever that thing is called, is kind of it's coming out of his ear. I'm not sure. And I don't know what's happening over here. There's something going on over there. And it's missing a feather. But here we have, it's just made out of foam. We just have this beautiful creation, this amazing turkey that this thing has survived multiple moves. It came in a moving truck from Northern California to Southern California, our move when we got here to Irvine and now over to Lake Forest. It's been there, it's never been lost. Now, if you were to see this on the ground, not one of you would pick it up and keep it. None of you would take it. You wouldn't say, that's amazing. I have here, I thought at first it was a frog, but it has wings. So maybe it's a bumblebee. Maybe it's a caterpillar in the middle of becoming a butterfly. But here is, again, probably about 20 years old. Ashlyn made this amazing frogapillar bee. No idea what it is or why we saved it, but we did. Why? Because they're ours. These are our children, and what in your home might look like a terribly shaped vase or a messy page of scribbles, but to your family, it's a treasure. Why? It's a treasure you would never think of throwing out, and because it was made by your child, your acceptance allows you to see beauty in value in the midst of faults and imperfections. Your acceptance of that child allows you to see that value in that which others might not see value in, even if it's imperfect. Why? Because it's yours. And by the way, the same is true of our Heavenly Father. His acceptance of us allows him to see value in us in spite of our faults and imperfections and failures. A man, the story is told, adopted a child who had been rejected by many other families. He had been in different homes and had been rejected due to his behavior. And he had been adopted, and he would test his father's love. He would push the boundaries. He was disrespectful. He would break the rules. And one day, kind of exasperated because he was testing, does this guy really love me, faults, failures, and all? And he asked his dad, he said, when are you going to send me away like the others? To which the dad replied, never, you're my son now. That means you're my son forever. What does every child need? Every child needs acceptance. You're mine. Do your children know that they're accepted by you? This is my son, you're mine. Would you say that phrase with me? You're mine. One more time, you're mine. Number two, what does every child need? Not only acceptance, but every child needs affection. What does he say? This is my beloved son. I love you. This is my beloved son. What did God give? God, a beautiful, just in one phrase in Luke chapter 3, a beautiful model and pattern and reminder for those of us that are parents of what we should strive to give our children. That acceptance, this is my son, that affection, beloved, I love you. Would you say that statement with me? I love you. I've heard it said that a child should hear tens of thousands of words of love and praise in their 18 years in our home. In our home, we're not perfect at this, and it's not a rule, but in our home, we try to make it a habit that we don't hang up a phone without ending the call saying, I love you. We try to make it that we don't leave the home without saying, I love you. And at times, probably like your families, we'll get busy and I'll be walking out and the kids, we're running behind, we're trying to get to school or work or wherever we're going. And Tiffany will say, excuse me, you guys didn't say goodbye. And oh, goodbye, I love you. And all of us get into the routines, but we've tried to make it a habit that we don't leave the home without saying, I love you. We don't maybe try not to go to bed without saying goodnight, I love you. Why? Because people, we need to know that we are loved. Our children need to know that. And maybe that's not the home you grew up in. And maybe that's not your temperament or your personality. And everyone expresses this differently. I don't have to do it the way that you do. And you don't have to do it the way that I do. But if God has given us children, we do need to express that affection. By the way, the same is true in marriage. You've probably heard me mention the story of the husband and wife. And they had been married for decades. And the wife said, do you still love me? And he said, of course I do. And she said, well, how come you never tell me? And he said, well, I told you when we got married, and if anything changes, I'll let you know. That makes for a kind of a humorous joke on a Sunday morning. That doesn't make for a healthy marriage. We need to express our affection, our love, our appreciation. How many times did the Apostle Paul express his love and affection for those that were a part of his spiritual family? In the letters that he wrote, how often did he express that love and that affection? I thank God upon every remembrance of you. I long for you. You're in my heart. I can't wait to see you. Just read the Apostle Paul's letters of how he expressed that love. Every human relationship needs to know that. And then the third thing every child needs is affirmation. I'm proud of you. Would you say, I'm proud of you? I'm proud of you. First one. You're mine. Say that with me. You're mine. Second one, I love you. Third one, I'm proud of you. This is my beloved son in what? Whom I am well pleased. In whom I am well pleased, I'm proud of you. Your child needs to know that you're in their corner, that you accept them, that you love them, that you're proud of them. By the way, this doesn't mean that you can't be disappointed in some of their choices. This doesn't mean that you can't correct them. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. That's a very biblical principle. As a father, God makes it clear that as parents, we have a God-given responsibility to correct, to chasten, to discipline for the right reasons, from the right places. This does not, don't leave, and if you're a child here, see, pastor said, you just have to let me do whatever I want to do and be happy with it. That is not how God treats his children. God has very clear directives in Scripture, and there are consequences to, and there are times where we can grieve the Holy Spirit. This does not mean that we cannot correct, that we cannot discipline, that we cannot be disappointed in choices. By the way, that's true of my mom and dad. There have been times they've had to correct and discipline, and they've been disappointed in my choices. But what it does mean, do not allow your disappointment to blind you to the areas in which you should be proud of them. And by the way, the unconditional love should be there even when you're disappointed in their choices. That unconditional love and acceptance should be there. They are your children. Don't allow that to blind you to the aspects of their lives that you should be and could be proud of. Have you ever had someone in your life that you just could never please? Maybe a boss, a teacher, a coach, a principal, maybe a mom or a dad, an aunt or an uncle. And if that person, no matter what you did, no matter how hard you tried, you could never earn their affirmation, you could never earn their acceptance, what did that do to you? Very likely, it led you to a place of exasperation, of discouragement, maybe of just, what's the point? Why even try? A place of just anger, despair. Nothing I do will ever be good enough, so why even try? Maybe some of you have experienced that in a very close relationship, and if you're not careful, that will come out in your relationships as well. And you know the way that it led you to that, and so don't allow that to be the way that you treat those that you love. Be careful that you don't lead those in your circle to exasperation and despair, because nothing that they do will ever be enough. The Bible says it this way from the book of Ephesians, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents, don't provoke your children to wrath. Build them up with love and with encouragement. Every child has a deep longing to know that they are a son or a daughter and who their dad or their mom is. Well, please, son, I'm proud of you. Sweetie, I'm proud of you. And by the way, can I give you on this idea of affirmation a few quick thoughts on offering words of affirmation or praise? Just a few thoughts, maybe just some practical wisdom. I would suggest first, praise effort more than ability. I'm proud of how hard you worked, more than I'm proud that you were the leading scorer. Now, that's great if they're the leading scorer in a game, but the reason that they did, that's some of that they can't control. They can't always control which team they're on or how the other people on their team play or the fact that the ball went in that day. But what they can control is their effort. Praise character more than physical attributes. It was funny, we walked downstairs this morning and Tiffany said something about, oh, my boys are looking handsome today, and they all started to laugh. And I said, what's so funny about that? They said, well, TJ or Ty, I think TJ said 10 minutes ago, when mom walks down, she's gonna tell us how handsome we all look. And sure enough, like clockwork, we came down and it was. It's not that you can never praise. I think people ought to, again, feel secure, and you have a young lady, you ought to praise that you're a beautiful young lady, but make sure that it's not all about the external. Praise the internal attributes. Praise character more than, I'm so proud of your kindness. And I think I told Ashlyn or Annalise, maybe both this morning, you look pretty today. That's a regular thing. You look nice for church. But be careful that everything you praise, because guess what? If everything you praise is external, where are they going to find their value? In the external. Praise character more than physical attributes. Praise wise choices more than you praise positive outcomes. I'm proud of the work you put into that school project. You know what you can control? How much work you put into something. You know what you can't control always? The grade that a teacher gives you, the promotion that a boss gives you. You can't always control the outcome of a sporting event. You can't always control the outcome, but you can control the process. You can control the choices you make. Praise wise choices more than you praise positive outcomes. I'm so proud of you for getting good grades. That's fine. We can praise that. But even more important, I'm proud of the hard work you did to earn those good grades. Every child needs affirmation. Why? Because what gets rewarded gets repeated. For your children, what gets rewarded gets repeated. Remember that in our lives. So what are you proud of in your child? Do they know? Send them a text. Write a note. Call them. Tell them in person. What does every child need? The three things that God gave Jesus in Luke 3, acceptance. This is my son. Affection, my beloved son. Affirmation, in whom I am well pleased. I told you the message would conclude with a challenge for dads and a reminder for all of us. So here's the challenge. Dads, how are we doing in giving these three things to our children? How are we doing? He's mine. I love you. I'm proud of you. Let's leave today asking God to help us to be more like him, God the Father. You're mine. I love you. I'm proud of you. Would you say those three things? You're mine. I love you. I'm proud of you. Which one of those is hardest for you to say? It's probably the one your child needs to hear the most. Whichever one of those is hardest for you to say is probably the one they need to hear the most. And now I want to close with a reminder for all of us. But before I do, I have to acknowledge the reality of today's message. I said today that every child needs these three things, and I said today that I don't just mean young children, everyone who's a child, which is all of us. Every person in this room needs those three things. And here's the reality. I don't mean this in a hurtful way. I think we'll end in an encouraging way. But here's the reality. Some of us in this room maybe don't know what it's like to receive all three of these things, or for some, maybe even one of these things from a father. Some in this room don't know their dad or have a strained relationship with their dad, or maybe it was an abusive situation. Some of you have never heard your dad say, "I love you." And others could never do enough to earn his acceptance or affirmation. And here's the reality: no matter what your situation is, no one in this room had an earthly father that perfectly gave all three of these things all the time. None of us. Every person in this room had an imperfect father that didn't always give all three of these things the way that they should, which leads to a vital reminder as we leave on this Father's Day for all of us. And this is what we see here: the only father that can ever perfectly and completely give you the full acceptance, the unconditional love, and the necessary affirmation that you need and you're looking for is the Heavenly Father. None of us, and by the way, my five children don't have a perfect example of these three areas in their lives. And it's a reminder for all of us, whatever level of health your relationship with your earthly father is a reminder of our need for a healthy relationship with our Heavenly Father. The psalmist said it this way: when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. It is the Heavenly Father that makes up for the faults, the failures, the gaps in our relationships with our earthly parents. And here's the reminder on this Father's Day. Here's the reminder: while a healthy relationship with an earthly father is a wonderful blessing, and I'm challenging you, that those of you that are here in this room and you have children, to work to have as healthy of a relationship as you can with your children. I'm not saying that our relationship with our earthly father doesn't matter. It's a wonderful blessing, but the reminder is our hearts can only be truly healed by a healthy relationship with our Heavenly Father. Do you know what picture the Bible uses in reference to a person who chooses to place their faith in Christ alone for salvation? What does the Bible use? The picture is adoption. It is a father that loves a child so much, they'll welcome them into their home. I didn't choose the children that are in my home. Now, I love them with all of my heart, but I didn't choose them. But do you know if you adopt a child, you chose that child? God gave us our five children, but an adoptive parent chooses to bring that child. It's a choice of acceptance, of affection, of affirmation. And that is the picture. And it's a good reminder that no matter where you stand with your immediate family, no matter where you stand, how healthy or unhealthy that relationship might be, it's a good reminder that all that we need in these three areas is found in that relationship with our Heavenly Father. Now, our earthly fathers can be beautiful pictures to point us to that relationship, but a reminder: we have been brought into the family with full acceptance, full love, full family rights, full access to the Father. What love! The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, what love, what love, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the what church? The sons of God. Behold, what love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. If you're here today and you don't know that love, you've never placed your faith and trust in Christ alone, you've never been called the Son of God by God the Father, make today the day that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and accept that love into your life. And if you have been welcomed into the family of God, don't leave here today grieving the imperfect love you received from your earthly father. Leave here rejoicing over the perfect love that is yours in your Heavenly Father. I am His. I am loved. He is proud of me. What does this verse teach us? By the way, I said this at the end of last Sunday's message. If you are in Christ, just as God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," if you are justified, if you are in Christ, what does He see when He looks at you positionally? He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I am His, I am loved, and He is proud of me. Would you say those three statements? I am His, say that with me. I am His, I am loved, say that. I am loved. He is proud of me. Say that. And some of you need to leave speaking that truth into your life. I am accepted. If you know Christ as Savior, I'm fully known. I'm fully loved. I'm his. It says, if we're in Christ, no man can pluck us out of the hand of the Father. We're fully secure. He'll never let us go. You maybe have had people that you loved and that loved you betray you and turn their back on you and let you go. He will never let you go. You are his for all eternity. That, behold, what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us. That's the love of the Heavenly Father, that we should be called the sons of God. What? Have you ever stopped to allow that just to blow your mind? He loves me so much. I am his. I am loved. He is proud of me. Some of us need to be reminded of that truth this week, and we need to walk in that truth. Again, it does not mean he affirms our sin. It means he loves us in spite of it. The first time I was truly confronted, where I truly understood the reality and the fullness of the Father's love, was for me. I was already a husband and a father of four. It was about 12 years ago in Alaska. I was invited to be the guest preacher. I was supposed to be coming to teach them about the Bible. And the pastor in Alaska, an aged man who served God for decades, he called me into his office. I didn't know. I'd never met him before. I didn't even quite know how they found my name and invited me to come to preach this week-long revival in their church. He called me into his office and he sat me down, and for about 2 hours, he talked to me about the love of God, about the full forgiveness that is found in God, about my identity in Christ, who I am a beloved son in whom he is well pleased. Now, I understood snippets of this, and I could have quoted some of the verses that he told you, but for whatever reason, on that day, in a way that I had never quite understood, I embraced and understood and acknowledged my true acceptance, the true love of God, the totality of the Father's forgiveness, and that day forever changed my understanding and view of who God was as my Father. I realized, in some ways, fully for the first time, that God accepts me, that he loves me, that he's proud of me. Regardless of my actions, he loves me. There's nothing I can do today that will... He said this statement over a decade ago. Ryan, there's nothing you can do today to make him love you anymore, and there's nothing you can do today to make him love you any less. And that really challenged my preconceived notions, my view of God. And I started thinking about it, and he took me to different scriptures. Again, does not mean God affirms my sin. It means my actions don't affect his love for me. I'm justified. Positionally, I'm in Christ. Practically, there are practical areas of righteousness. By the way, when my children, and I'm not a perfect father, I'm a sinful, failing, imperfect father, when my children disobey me, does that affect their standing in my family? Are they still a Thompson? Of course. Do we still love them? Absolutely. Practically speaking, there may be some tension, some separation in that relationship, but it does nothing to affect the position in that relationship. That trip to Alaska was a pivotal moment in my Christian life. And a simple message today, but I pray that this morning's service might be a pivotal moment in some lives here today, and in some homes represented here today. Romans 8, Paul said, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of what, church? Adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." I was in Israel in January, been praying much for the Middle East and Israel in this week and all of the, all that's going on there. And it's one of the most precious things to hear a little child say to their parent in Israel, Abba, especially when you understand scripture. Abba, it's the most endearing, beautiful, that you're mine, Daddy. He's the one that protects me. He's the one that loves me. He's the one that provides for me. Some of you have a picture of God in your mind that is this cold. We talked about this the last two Wednesday nights in our Summer Bible Institute, this cold, distant, angry dictator in heaven just waiting for the next time you step out of line to whip you back into shape and to strike you dead with lightning. And you live in this fear. You're maybe because of what someone's taught you about God, or maybe because of some unhealthy relationships in your own parental relationships. And it's this idea that I can never do enough. I'm constantly trying to earn his favor. He's mad at me. How's he gonna get even with me because I messed up? And there are consequences to sin. No, I'm not trying to minimize the reality that God wants us to be holy as he is holy. But some of us need to change our perspective of who God is and of how he loves us. You've been adopted. Not the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's not what the Christian life's supposed to be. You've been adopted. You cry, Abba, Father. It's beautiful comfort and love and joy, the closeness. He's my God, I'm his. He's my Father, I'm loved. He's proud of me. And by the way, just like if you've ever had somebody that you could never do enough for, you know how how much that hurts and how hard that is, just almost makes you want to give up. If you've ever experienced the opposite, somebody that speaks life into you, that has unconditional love, you know how that draws them to you. And more than any earthly relationship could ever do that, that's the Heavenly Father that we serve. What do we all need? Acceptance. Fully known, fully loved. What do we all need? Affection. Behold, what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What do we all need? Affirmation. Dads, let's do our best this week to be a little imperfect picture of the Heavenly Father in those areas. And for all of us children, walk out reminding yourself, I'm his. When he sees me, he sees the righteousness of Christ. If you're not saved, become his today. If you are, you're accepted. You're loved. He's proud of you.
Thank you for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more Bible teaching, or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.